This segment of the Bass Kayak and Beers podcast is sponsored in part by Dark Horse Tackle. Go to darkhorsetackle.com and use promo code BKB5 to save an extra $5 when you build your own box. Douglas Outdoors, serious rods for serious anglers. Norsk Lithium, the lithium kayak battery you need is just a click away. Go to norsklithium.com. Catch Outdoors, the official measuring board for all three national trails. Go to catchoutdoors.com and use promo code BKB5 to save 5% on your next online purchase. What is going on, everyone? Hope you all having a great day. We're going to have a great episode for you today. We got Steve Owens. We're going to talk about Lake Mary. Record attendance as far as opens going. By that, I mean non-qualifiers. Like, you don't have to qualify to enter that tournament. I think the final number was 256 entries into that tournament. That is far and away the biggest attendance we've had with that type of kayak fishing tournament. So I'm excited to have Steve Owen talk about that. And of course, we got Jay Kokoulis. He just told me how to pronounce it, but me being who I am, I probably botched that. But he just actually won Lake Mary, so we're talking about that big win for him. If you are watching on the live stream, please let us know where you're listening and watching from. Feel free to ask questions to either Steve Owens or Jake when we have him on. A couple of new things. I've been keeping you guys updated. Sorry, I'm away from my mic. Finally got my compound bow. If you all listen to my podcast, you know that. Give me a second here. Let me put it back. I destroyed my first compound bow. I didn't know that you couldn't dry fire it, so I completely destroyed it. I had it set to, I think, 70 pounds, and I was kind of messing with it. It was brand new. I was trying to get the feel of how, you know, to pull, you know, to create that muscle memory, and I accidentally air fired it, completely destroyed it. Brand new, same day I bought it, went to take it back to Legacy Archery in Fort Worth. Great group of people. If you're from the Dallas-Fort Worth area, go check out Legacy Archery. Great customer service. They helped me out. I got the bow back. It's a Matthews MXR, I think it is. MXR or MRX. I got my first compound bow firing lessons yesterday. At the end, I got 4 out of my 5 shots straight bullseye. So I'm kind of proud of that. It's the first time I actually use my compound bow. So I'm really excited about it. Other thing, Bassmasters Elite Series, Lake Fork. My God. I was just talking to Steve Owens. I think like the top 25 or top 30 are 25 pounds. The biggest bag is like 38 pounds by Taku. 10th place has 32 pounds, I think. It's just the numbers are absolutely insane. Lake Fork is showing out. So that is amazing. You should definitely follow that. I'm not that excited about basketball tournaments, but the numbers on this has me really excited. I got Mike M watching on YouTube. Mike, thank you. Good evening to you too. And as again, if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, please leave us a comment. If you're watching on Instagram, every now and then I'll go back to Instagram and check out the comments. Let's see. I got Peter Hauser. Better see you in Ray Roberts this weekend. That is correct. I am going to pre-fish that this tomorrow, hopefully, and see how it goes. Other than that, let me see what else. Oh, we are doing a giveaway. If you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, make sure you sign the review with your name on the bottom. We're going to do a drawing at the end of March. It's going to be our quarterly drawing. We're going to have a catch board and maybe some other prizes. We're going to select one of the comments. I know there's already a bunch of people have commented, left a review with a comment. So leave us a review, put a comment, and make sure you sign your name in the comment so I know who you are. And then we'll announce it on the Advanced Kayak Angler the last episode of March. And yeah, so go ahead and do that. Not a lot of people have signed up for that, but a few have. So you have a great shot at winning some good prizes. With that in mind, let's bring in Steve Owen. Steve, first of all, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. What about you?
Awesome, especially now that I have you back on the show. It's always an honor and a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Congratulations, man. Lake Murray, in your wildest dreams, did you think you were going to hit the mark of, what was it, 254, 56 anglers?
258.
258.
Yeah.
And how surprised were you?
I was sweating, hoping we were going to get like 160-ish. Yeah. And man, there's no way. No way. I don't know. I don't know if I'll be alive the next time we get 258 kayakers in an open event. I really don't know. It's crazy.
Now that you've hit a mark like that, is there any thought of, like, I'm sure this is the biggest trail you've, I'm assuming, but I don't know your whole history as a tournament director, but I'm assuming this is the biggest one you ever had to direct and manage. And there's obviously a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes that we as anglers and as fans don't get to see. Now that you experience, you know, that level of work, I'm sure you had to, you know, do a lot of extra hiring as far as judges and some other stuff. Is there any thought that at some point you might put a cap on how many anglers can enter a tournament?
We talked about that this morning, and we were talking the other day on KBN. I don't know. I understand the reason for a cap. For me, let me tell you what a cap means for me. A cap means we've got too many people on a body of water, so y'all can't really enjoy your tournament. You know what I mean? For me, that's a reason to cap. Having a lot of people in a tournament, I feel like putting a cap on it can kind of slow down your steam, your momentum a little bit, you know? I'm not one that needs, you know, to say, hey, we capped this event out, because if we get 100 and Possum Kingdom, we had 130 people on that water, and which is a great turnout, but you know, we kind of figured it might be a little more, and that ended up being an amazing tournament because you guys weren't crowded, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily think a cap, you know, it can help, yes, but I don't like them to an extent, but if we were to pop, you know, 250 across the board all year, then maybe kind of sort of. But I don't think we can even entertain that until we get a whole year of data to look at. You know, if we end up getting, you know, 110 the rest of the season, then no, we don't need a cap. But no. And to answer your question, we had the biggest tournament I ever did. It was a one-day tournament. We had it was a KBF on Guntersville I ran. It was 168-ish, I think. And then we had the Bassmaster Kayak Series on Logan Martin was 220. But those were both one-day tournaments. But so, yeah, this by far is the biggest tournament I've ever ran. And I have myself and two other judges. So that's three people on it. And so I think feel like we do a really good job there. So
when you think about the growth of Bassmaster Kayak Series since you've taken over, and again, this is not an indictment on who was running it and what happened before. What happened before is what happened. You know, the reasons why it wasn't working out are whatever they are. Not going to delve into that. But when you took over, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like maybe the pressure is not that big on you because you're taking something that's struggling to get 30, 40 anglers to sign up. There was definitely some changes that needed to be made. I feel like there was there's always pressure, but the pressure for you, I guess, it was kind of like a no-lose situation. Like if it didn't work out, hey, listen, it wasn't working out for the first 2 years. Maybe it's just not the right fit with the Bassmasters. But now you've taken it over. You're getting into this height, 256 anglers. Do you feel now a little bit more pressure to say, okay, like now I got it to higher, maybe higher than you expected, or maybe this is what you expected in a span of a year and a month, really, because this is the first trail of the second year for you. Now do you feel a little bit more pressure? It's like, wait a minute, now this is legit, like the top of the line. If the season continues, as far as kayak trails go, do you feel a little bit more pressure now to perform as a tournament director and make sure to steady the ship?
No, reason being is because, you know, from day one, now there was, I didn't feel a lot of pressure, like, you know, I've got to turn this around and make it this or that or the other, because I just do my process regardless of what I'm running. But the real pressure came was, yes, because there's more pressure then and now, because I quit my job to do this. You know,
yeah.
I've been a reactor operator and maintenance in chemical plants and stuff my whole life, and left a very good job to be able to do this, thanks to my wife and God. But so, yeah, there's a lot of pressure to do that. And that's why it took me so long to do it, you know, and the, you know, AJ and I are really good friends. And then obviously Lambert and my son, self-employed, and I work for Dugout. So, you know, that's kind of a self-employment thing. And so it took me a little while to see that self-employed angle, which is, you know, what this essentially is when you're a tournament director, because it's kind of year to year, no matter what your contract is. So that pressure is there, but I don't really feel it. Just because I know, just ultimately, I'm only in control of so much of my life. Wherever God wants me to go, I'll go. So if I hit the lottery tomorrow and you never see me again, unless I've got a real good tan on a beach somewhere, then that's where I'll go. But if I'm running this till I'm 60, then that's what I'll do. And if I have to leave tomorrow to go do something else, then that's what I'll do too. But my pressure is performing for our anglers, because I have a certain way that I want to do things for the end result. And I had a good conversation with two good buddies at lunch today that are kayak anglers. And, you know, when I do something, you know, obviously I'm doing this for a living, but that's not my end all goal. It's to put on the best tournament that I possibly can, so that the angler has had a good time. You know, as much as you can predict weather, body of water, and the fish bite and the moon, you at least, even if the fishing stunk, at least you didn't get to go home and gripe because the tournament management didn't do this or this, you know. So that's how I operate. So the pressure is always there. Like, if you see me and my buddy Kuth that travels with me, he used to freak out and worry over me. And he stopped me one day and said, "Hey, man, are you okay? You know, what can I do?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Man, you're just, you know, 100 miles an hour and this, that, and the other." And he said, "I said, Kuth, I'm not stressed. This is just my process. I'm quiet. I move around. I don't look up because I'm going to and from, because I've got a motion that I have to go through. And then when I hit it, I'm done, you know." But I'm, even though I look tense and nervous, I'm pretty calm and relaxed. I do, you know, if you'll see me before we do the briefings or something, you know, I'll get back there and I'll take a couple of deep breaths. And like everybody else, you're a little shaky when you first get to that microphone and start talking live. But it goes away because I start looking at, because I know all of y'all, and I start looking, and it's like we're having a conversation with each other, and that kind of pressure goes away. But I don't, and you asked another question in there. My expectations, I don't see this repeating over and over and over, but I mean, it might. I don't know. I mean, people, the fishing industry in general is hurting. The world's hurting, period. The economy is not great. You know, people don't have a lot of extra money. But I don't think it's happening because it's a bad thing. I think it's happening because we're not in COVID anymore. That 2 years of bliss where we got to do any and everything we wanted to do. You know, we're not in that now. So I feel like we're kind of settling back down, or have settled back down, to where you got to hustle and you got to juggle things to be able to do this, you know, anymore. We're used to, we could just do whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I noticed another thing that I wanted to ask you is, like, we've seen, you know, kayak trails hit a high, then it seems like changes come about in rules and formats, and we see it kind of like not performing at the same level. Or example, KBF, not pointing fingers at anybody, but it used to be like the, you know, the benchmark. A lot of anglers that I've talked to say, well, the constant changes in format and rules kind of like was part of the reason why it's not as popular as it used to be. 2 years ago, Hobie was, and it still is, like one of the best kayak trails, but we saw a dip in the numbers last year. They were still good, but not as, good as we would expect them or accustomed to in years prior. There were some major rule changes to them that brought about new rule changes now with this year with the motors. And we kind of saw Sam Rayburn have disappointing numbers. Not bad, something like 90-something, but anything in Texas less than 100 is maybe, you know, considered a disappointment because of the expectations that there is in Texas. When you see that, this, are you like aware of that and think, does it affect your thought process of like, okay, we're now getting to where you think Bassmaster Kayak Series can go? And do you feel like a need to maybe think a little bit more of any future changes that might come up just so we won't fall into like, you know, things got to the height of it, changes were made. Now it seems like it's on a, you know, on a decline as far as the experience we've seen with other trails.
You know, obviously, because we're all, you know, intertwined in this industry, I do pay attention to all of it. And, you know, in Hobie's rules last year, the changes, you know, we made the same rule changes. And this year they made a few tweaks to theirs, but I don't think it was anything real far different than the Bassmaster Hobie kind of allegiance that we made. KBF, we had a meeting with Chad and he adopted some of these same rules we all talked about. But Hobie kind of stuck with them all. They did add motors, which I think was, you know, a positive for just, you know, it offers an experience for anglers. So I don't think, you know, Hobie did anything to shoot themselves in the foot with anything they've done. I think they make good decisions over there. But for me, I do pay attention. And we actually had some conversations before we went public with our rules because we did add some things. You know, we added in the Bassmaster umbrella across the board, and keep in mind, and I know you know this because we're friends, but I don't do things just because the boat world does it. And Bassmaster doesn't want us to do things just because the Bassmaster boat world does it. But within the confines of growing a series, when you're getting to where you're fishing for $10,000 or $13,000, a couple of, you know, our core bodies spoke up and they were like, well, what do you think about, you know, keeping the parameters laid where people know when they come and fish that they're not having to compete against A, B, and C that shouldn't be in there, because we don't do that in the boat world because we have these rules in place. So we looked at that, and part of that was, you know, pre-fishing with non-competitors. It can only be, you know, your close family member, and that's in the rules. And you can have your camera crews and all of that on there. And then another thing was the communication rule during off limits and things like that. We kind of grew that out a little bit where, you know, it's during practice, it's competitors only, you know, and stuff like that, which, you know, you can reread them all. But then, you know, we went down in through there and we cleaned some language up on fish submission, because some of the wording, you know, makes it think where, like, if you've got, you know, your hand in a certain area, it looks like you're covering the tail. And the rules say you can't obstruct the tail. Well, that's not the spirit of obstructing the tail.
Yeah.
And so, but people think, oh, Armando's got his arm over it. You should DQ that fish. So I made sure anglers understood in our language that these are suggestions that we give to you guys, these criteria, for you to be able to make the best fish submission that you can. So if you do these 18 things, then you'll have 100% success most likely. But if you only get 14 of them in there, that doesn't mean it's a disqualified fish.
Yeah.
So those are criteria for us to do our job. And so I made sure we cleaned that up. There's a few other minor things in there, but we had an unfortunate gentleman that did reach out to a buddy of his and they were just talking. And then he called me on his way to the tournament and was like, hey man, I think I just disqualified myself. And he explained the situation. And I said, man, you sure did, you know, and he understood and it sucked, but he got it. But so, but I am very mindful, like, entry fee stuff, you know, I feel like we're where we need to be at 250.
Yeah.
This year, you know, in years past, you know, Bassmaster this last year, we covered the tourney X and stripe fees. And that was a lot of money. So we did that in year one just as a, hey, guys, you know, we want you here. We're going to do this as a little bit of a servitude. So we paid out almost 90%. You know, Bass is an 80-20 because the 20% is what it costs to run the business. And as we grow with sponsor dollars, we hope to change that. But right now we don't really have a lot of sponsorship to work with. And so this year we weren't able to continue to cover the Stripe Attorney X fee. So now that comes from the payout, and it's, but I chose to do that instead of adding more dollars to the entry fee. You know, now hopefully if our attendance stays up next year, I may add that small fee on top of the entry fee and make it 260 or whatever, 10 extra dollars or something to cover that. That way the payout continues to grow, you know?
Yeah.
And do it that way, but it'll be something minor, you know? And so, but I didn't want to do that this year because like you said, we had gained some momentum. We were doing well. And so I felt like, you know, let's not rock the boat and let's just, yeah, keep it even. So I do pay attention to that because, you know.
And Evan, thank you for commenting. He's saying you're seeing the numbers dip in other major attorneys series, not because of the rule changes, but because of bass reputation history. And everyone about bass fishing will know it's a critical of bass fishing. I do agree with some of what he's saying. Like, I think this, what I call the Steve-O effect, you know, you coming up to Bassmaster and it's kind of rebuilding it. I think it made people saying, well, I don't have a budget for one or the other. I'm going to go with bass because I think the reputation and the trust got rebuilt as soon as you sign in on that dotted line. What I do refer even, I'm sorry, it's, for example, the limiting where the launches were, that affected Hobie more than anybody else because Hobie was the only one that didn't allow mortar. So now non-mortar guys have to pedal or paddle a lot more because they now have designated launches. And as a result of that, now we see Hobie with mortars. And again, I'm not dissing on Hobie. Hobie is one of the greatest, and it has been before Steve Owens arrived at Bassmaster for years. For great job on AJ. And again, we're just kind of highlighting how changes can affect the overall momentum of the growth if it's not done, if it's too much at the same time. And I think you and I both agree with that, Steve. One more question before we bring Jake in. The numbers growing, right? This hitting 250, and we'll have to see what happens afterwards, right? But if let's say all the trails, maybe they don't all hit 250, but there's a noticeable growth from last year overall. Do you see this, or what would it take to maybe at some point have an elite separate series for kayak trails?
I think we need about 3 more years of sustainability at a good number. But the key to any of that is sponsor dollars. It's about that dollar because you have to run these tournaments and it costs a lot of money. And then because, you know, something to Evan's point, you know, with it being Bassmaster, you know, yeah, we changed some things and we have a reputation behind how I run tournaments that people respect. But, you know, as you see, you know, people love that they're getting put on the Bassmaster website, you know, people are getting to get on the Bassmaster stage now. And so, you know, now after we're post COVID where people have to start picking and choosing what they do, I think that because bass before the kayak series came along, like you just said, you know, you guys followed bass for forever, you know, your whole lives. I got a picture from Derek Brundle today of him. He was probably like 6 years old holding a stringer of like 4 bass, and he's got the old school captain's hat of bass on it, you know. So that's what, you know, you guys have done your whole life. And so I think that is a large part of it. It makes, and what I have found this year, like in our Bass Nation, I think so far in Georgia this year, I've got almost 30 brand new people who've never fished a kayak tournament joining because it's a Bass Nation. Yeah. And they want to fish a Bassmaster. And in Bassmaster, we're getting tons of people who have their brand new very first catch board ever. They bought on the way to the tournament, never fished, never taken a picture or anything. They want to fish a Bassmaster event and try to qualify. So that's a large part of it is the name.
The lore, of just growing up watching Bassmaster when you're a little kid and wanting to be on that stage. And now this opens another venue where you can actually be on it. Maybe not an elite series, but either ways, be there for like I know it's not the classic, but the venue where the classic is going to be held is, you know, in this case, the kayak championship. Mike M makes a great point. The economics, you touched on that. That definitely has played out. in the growth of the sport. Well, let's bring Jake in.
Yeah.
Steve, I know you're a busy man. You're more than welcome to stay, but you know you're probably on a podcast every week, and I don't want to take too much out of your precious time, but you're more than welcome to hang out with us. But if at any point you have to bow out, before we bring Jake in, just in case you have to bow out at some point before we end, anybody that you want to thank, plug in, sponsorship, please?
Yeah, dude, on a personal level, you all know I work for Dugout Bait and Tackle remotely too, run the kayak staff there, and I handle sales and market relationships with all of our major vendors across the country. And, want to thank, I have a Hobie kayak and an Old Town kayak that I get to market and fish out of. I thank those people. And just, I thank, my wife who does so much to let me be able to do all this. And so y'all thank her too. She's a very shy person, but whenever y'all run into her, thank her. Say thank you for being boss lady so that Steve-O can go out and do what he does. So, yeah. But then again, like you said, Bassmaster, for seeing some holes we needed to fill and making that recommitment to restructure and revamp. And they took all of the angler critique and said, whatever you all think makes the most sense, that's practical and efficient, let's do it. And so far, there's not very much that they haven't said no to. And everything that they've said no to, in hindsight, was the right thing because they've done this for a long time and it was something I wanted to try. And I see now that it probably wouldn't have been good. Nothing that would have probably hurt us or derailed us, but it wouldn't have been the most practical thing. So, and every podcast I get to get on, I enjoy talking to you, Kurt and Dan and the whole crew. So, yeah, I appreciate all of y'all always asking me to come on because I enjoy it.
Oh, we enjoy having you too. It's an honor.
It's cuckoo less.
Yes. Jake, I apologize.
How's it going, man?
Jake Kukules. Congratulations, Jake. Amazing win. Considering how big the field was, were you intimidated when you saw 256? I'm assuming that's the biggest crowd or, competition-wise. Have you ever been on a tournament?
I did the KBF National Championship a couple years ago, and it was similar field. I don't think it was the same amount, but it was probably like close to 250, I think.
Was it intimidating for you to watch, knowing that you're going up against 250 plus on the Bassmaster Kayak Series?
You can't really think like that. Like, you got to just be competitive and think that you can always win.
You've had some major wins, maybe not a national trail, maybe your name, it's not like same Russ Snyder and all that, but I've looked through your Instagram and you seem to have some quality wins. You're somewhat of a hammer up there in the upper Northeast. Is that correct? Is that a fair assessment?
Humbly, you could say that, I guess.
How much wins have you had in your region? I know you have a big trophy. We're talking about it, kind of like a Stanley Cup trophy where they engrave your name. And then the next year, whoever wins it, you pass it along to him and they engrave your name. What was that one and how does that compare?
That was the North Jersey Classic. And yeah, that was awesome to win that one. I mean, it doesn't compare to a Bassmaster event at all, honestly, but it was still awesome to win.
How do you feel now holding that trophy? Has it settled in that you actually won the Bassmaster Kayak Series at Lake Murray?
Honestly, I'm still on cloud nine at this point. I'm still trying to catch up on all the phone calls and text messages that I'm getting. Like, it's just been amazing.
And another point, Steve Owens, to your credit, that's another thing I think that the growth of the Bassmaster Kayak Series is that now we're getting that media attention from the Bassmasters. We're getting more attention in their platform, and therefore, especially for anglers that are trying to get sponsorship and get, help with their costs, it's now a great, great venue. Once you establish yourself, win a tournament, or do good consistently, definitely you get a lot more attention. I'm assuming you've never gotten this level of attention, Jake.
No, not even close. I mean, as soon as I walked off the stage, my phone, I had like 100 messages to respond through. It took me a couple of days to go through because I didn't want to ignore anyone. I wanted to try and make sure everybody knew that I appreciated them reaching out.
So how do you handling this level of stardom? You think it'll go to your head eventually, or no. You stay humble?
No, yeah, you got to stay humble because you're only as good as your last tournament. So if I go out and bomb the next one, then it doesn't matter.
Let's talk a little bit about how are you able to, you know, figure it out and get this win. First of all, how many days of pre-fishing did you do, and what did you find out doing pre-fishing?
I had 2 days of pre-fishing, but I'd been there the last 3 years on the same weekend for KBF. So I had a pretty good idea of what I wanted to do going down there. So mostly in practice, I was just kind of graphing, trying to find, basically have as many waypoints as I could by the time tournament time came, because this is a 2 day tournament combined. So it doesn't matter how good you do on day one. If you can't catch them on day two, too, then it didn't matter. KBF, a lot of times it's single day tournaments.
That is actually, and Steve, you probably agree with it, that is like a veteran move. And you're, how old are you, by the way, Jake? I didn't ask you.
I'm 26.
26. So you're still a young pup. That is actually, I have to say, like a veteran move. Like, understand it's a two-day tournament. Casting and catching fish on pre-fishing, it actually, if you catch too much, it might be counterproductive, meaning that you can sore lip your spot and all that. On both day, did you decide you were just gonna graph, or just the first day of
I definitely stuck a couple in practice because I wanted to get a feel of what the fish were doing and how to make them react. But if I caught a good fish on the spot, I was definitely gonna leave it for the tournament.
So most of the time spent doing pre-fishing on both days of pre-fishing was just graphing, more graphing than actually casting. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What, if you don't mind me asking, what baits worked for you? Or what, actually, let me rephrase that question. So what did you find out on pre-fishing that helped you on the tournament?
I felt like I had a good idea what the fish were doing, and I found a couple good areas where I felt like they were setting up or coming to as the week progressed.
So when it comes to when we think about this season, we're always thinking about when are they going to start spawning. We know they're not spawning yet, especially in South Carolina. But you know, how close do you think they were at the spawning? Was that something that you were trying to figure out? I'm assuming the staging. Were they up in creeks already? Were they at the mouth of coves? Were they further back deep?
I was finding a lot of fish working their ways towards the back of creeks. Like, I would go on my hummingbird map and look at the creek channels leading to the back of the creeks and try to follow the edge and look for any, like, good structure that they could sit on as they were making their way towards the back of the creeks.
That's good intel right there. What? So now you got to pre-fishing. You found out what you found out. Day one, did it translate exactly like you were expecting? What were you able to do on day one?
Well, I started off the day on a point that I had success in the past, but I seen a lot of fish, but I think they were mostly striper. And I learned in that lake, if there's a lot of striper around, you should probably move because there's probably not a lot of largemouth around. So I didn't catch anything off that point. I moved. There's two good residential boat ramps that I've caught them on good in the past. So I hit them two. The one I caught the 17 3/4 on, which definitely helped me settle in a little bit. It was good to just get a fish on the board. And then I was moving to the best area I had found in practice. And on the way, I had this voice in my head from my buddy who passed away last year. And I just heard him say, hit that island with a chatterbait. And even though I was already past the island, I was like, that was too distinct for me to ignore. So I turned around and tied on. I had a half ounce tied on, but I cut that off because it was getting kind of windy and tied on a 3/4 ounce. And in less than 10 minutes of fishing that island, I caught a 21 1/4. So I was like, oh man, that means something. And then like a half hour later, I caught the 22 1/2.
Which, by the way, let me show. I want to share. I always love sharing the pictures from the your catch. This is day one. You were sitting, you had a nice lead after day one. I've seen something like 3 inches over second place. That is, what was it, a 22 and a quarter or 22 and three quarters? Can't remember.
22 and a half, I believe. That was the longest fish I've ever caught in the tournament.
So that's your personal best as far as length goes?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. What did you catch him on, if you don't want me asking?
The 3/4 ounce chatterbait with 4.8 hog farmer spunk shad as a trailer.
All right, and I saw that you posted
that. Oh, that's a killer.
I love that trailer.
Jake, I'm going to have to go. Hog farmer, Scott's a good friend of mine. He just lives right the street from me. That's where his shop's at, too. I'm going to have to go in there and let him know and show him. Send me a picture of that chatterbait setup later on if you get a picture of it.
Okay, I put a picture on my Instagram, but I can definitely send you a better one, too. Yeah, I was using the spot remover color. It really imitates those herring down there.
That's cute. He's going to go nuts. Yeah, he'll love that. That's awesome.
That's it. Steve Owens coming through with a sponsorship right there.
Hey, real quick, want to say this. So, Jake, I don't know if you caught it, but, like, you know, it's cuckoo less, obviously, and I knew that, but I was talking to my buddy, and he was like, I said something. He said, you got to do the Eddie Murphy movie where the woman goes, Hercules, Hercules. you seen it? That's why I did the Cuckoo-lees, Cuckoo-lees. And I think you were so deer in the headlights, you didn't get it. But that's what that was, that Cuckoo-lees, Cuckoo-lees, like the Eddie Murphy. What is it, the clumps or something? You know what I'm talking about? The big fat people.
I might be a little too young for it, but I'll definitely take your word for it.
I'll send you a clip. And that's where that Cuckoo-lees, Cuckoo-lees, I knew it was Cuckoo-less because I asked you, but that's where the Cuckoo-lees, Cuckoo-lees came from. You're going to get a kick out of it whenever you see it. But anyway, I want to share this real quick, Armando, before I get off of here. That dude right there it was one of the most surreal, genuine, and amazing moments I've ever been a part of in fishing in 9 years now. Him on stage, man, it was so real. He was so happy to be there. He was freaking out because, I mean, you know, he won a lot and he just won the biggest event we've ever had. But that guy right there, y'all go to the Bassmaster YouTube or the Facebook page. You can find that link. You obviously watch it all, but if you want to go to the end and watch him speak, it was pretty dang awesome. And when you turned to me and you were like, man, you got any questions you can ask me? He was wanting off the hook.
I was trying not to break down. I could feel the tears coming on.
Dude, everybody else was too, man. And I'm a crybaby. I'll do it in a second. But anyway, I want to thank you for all of that. And you made my whole dang event by just that right there. I mean, there was a whole lot of things that went on amazing in that tournament. We had really minor issues all the way across the board. Registration went as smooth as I've ever been a part of one, really. And the tournament went great. Had a few uh-ohs, nothing major. But I want to thank you for all of that, Jake, dude. And I can't wait to cross paths again, hopefully once somewhere this year.
I want to thank you too, man, because I really appreciate those words, especially coming from you.
All right, man. I appreciate that, guys. And thank you, Armando. And I will catch up with you. Are you coming to the Classic?
Yeah, I'm unfortunately not as an angler, but I'll probably be there for the award ceremony for at least the kayak series. It's not a far, it's a few hour drive, but it's worth it. So
yeah, heck yeah, man. All right, man. I'll catch up with y'all later. Thank y'all.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for putting on an awesome event down there.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Good night, Steve. The man, the myth, the legend, Steve. Let me rearrange this. Mike Edwards, Jake sounds like a great dude. I have to admit, Jake, you do have sound like a great dude. I have to rewatch that speech that Steve Owens made. How nervous were you?
Going up there, I was just trying to tell myself, like, don't break down and start crying, like, because I really wanted to mention my buddy John Comendant, because he was like the biggest mentor for me in fishing, and I was like, just mention John and don't break down. Like, that's all I was telling myself.
I don't want to make you cry here and all that, but what is your friend? That's your friend that passed away. What has he meant for you?
I mean, he was just the biggest mentor for me for fishing and really life in general. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I'll be on the phone with him for 3-4 hours after a tournament, so upset because it's like, I should have done this, or I shouldn't have let that fish jump off, or I shouldn't have done that. And he was just always knew exactly what to say. I mean, the one time I drove home from Tennessee from that national championship, and I didn't even have any brakes on my car. Like, all I could, the only way I could stop was the e-brake. So John sat on the phone with me for the entire drive. Like, it was like a 10-hour drive, and he sat on the phone with me just because he knew how nervous I was driving without really being able to stop if I needed to. But he was there for me the whole time, and I'm just so appreciative of that guy.
Safe to say you dedicated this win, I'm assuming, to in his memory and everything that he's meant for you. And it's, you know, it's a privilege to have people like that in our lives. We all need people like that in our lives. And even if it's for a short time, you got the privilege to have somebody that special in your life and be a mentor, like you said. And it's, you know, you got it, the memories always live with you, and you carry that legacy on. You know, you have the opportunity to do that now and to actually express it. I think it's on the biggest event as far as the regular season goes, is it's pretty special. So congratulations. I'm happy, if not for anything else, more than anything for you getting that opportunity to dedicate that win to him. That's one of those things where life kind of supersedes whatever we do in a tournament. It just adds to the nostalgia of winning a trail. Just having that connection that brings you back. That's kayak fishing, and fishing in general is special, right? It's that it's how you, can you not fall in love with fishing when you have so many memories? We all have that memories of our grandfather, our uncle, our aunt, or you know, family member that's influences and taught us how to fish. And those connections, I know with my dad, that's a big connection that I have with him, because he taught me how to fish, even though he didn't fish as much, but he was just there so for the bonding, and that's all it is at the end of the day. Let's talk a little bit about day two. So day one, you only caught five fish. Turns out it was
five bites,
and it's usually to get, you know, that insurmountable of a lead, not insurmountable, but a nice lead of 3 inches. You usually catch like 7 or 8 bass, and you know, you call up. But in this case, it gave you momentum to hold on for that win in day 14. Day 14, let me share the screen here again. Let me go back to that. Day 14, you go down to 14th place. By the time it lines out and you still don't know who's won, how comfortable were you that, you know, 14th place was good enough? And or did you feel disappointment that you went down that far on the list in day two?
I mean, I really didn't know what to think after the tournament. I had so much butterflies in my stomach. Like, I was just hoping and praying that I caught enough to win.
Were you surprised that you won? Because usually when you're like, well, if you won day one, 3 inches is a good cushion, but you kind of want to be somewhere in the top five, maybe top 10, to kind of make sure you win, depending on the lead that you have. But 14th place is kind of like a little bit lower than I think most of us will feel comfortable. How, you know, were you surprised at all that you won? Considering that you dropped down to 14th on day two, not in overall standings, but just in day two?
I mean, I was really just worried that somebody was sandbagging like 102 inches or something.
Were you happy with what you were able to accomplish in day two? Because actually, you caught a lot more. Ironically, you caught, from what I see here, you caught 9 fish. What did you end up trying to replicate day one as far as going to the same spots and doing the same things, or were there any adjustments prior to launching or during day two as it got along?
No, during day two, I actually started on a different area, like the area that I was heading to originally on day one. Before I heard like that voice from John, I was heading to this area. It was like, I kept calling it, like in my head, the triple point area, because it was like 3 points that all had rock piles on it. And I made one cast to each one in practice. I caught two 18s and one something broke me off. I don't know what it was, a pickerel or whatever, but I grinded the crankbait down there. I got a bite and it instantly broke me off. So I felt really confident that I could go there and hopefully get one or two over 18, because my goal was really to get at least 90 inches the next day. And I started there and it was kind of slow. I caught like a 14, 15 something. And then Bassmaster came, and that really made it nervous, like having the Bassmaster guys over there taking photos. But luckily, while they were there, they actually brought me a little bit of good luck, it seemed like, because I caught a 17, and I think I caught another like 15 and some change or something like that. So I had four fish, and then I felt confident to go back to that island. And I was like, all right, now I just need to get a couple big bites.
Yeah, you ended up with the biggest one is 19 and a half, then 19, 17 and a half, 16 and a half, and 16 and a half. Not bad at all. But obviously, when you look at 99 inches on day one, you kind of have that uneasy feeling. It's like now you know the potential versus you going into day one and doing 89 inches and then day two doing 99. Completely different vibes, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. Why did you not try to replicate? I mean, you got 99 inches doing day one. What made you decide, you know, let me change it up on day two? If I would have, my first thought to me is like, 99 inches, that's pretty good. Especially considering, I mean, if it's Lake Fork, like we saw, 99 inches may not be much, but, you know, Lake Murray, 99 inches, it's really damn good, even though it's a great lake. What made you change your mind? It was just that feeling you got when, you know, when you talked about hearing John tell you where to go, or is there something else that you saw that made you change your mind?
I mean, it was really just a gut feeling, because I was really committed on spending my whole day in those two areas, like either those the triple points or like the islands. And I didn't really make the decision until I got to the ramp and started paddling out. And my gut was just telling me start on them rock piles, try and get one or two big ones, and then just go to the islands for the rest of the day and grind out as many bites as you can.
And it certainly worked out. I mean, you got a really good win of 4¾ inch over second place Ryan and Bailey Eichbrett from the Serious Angler. Actually, one day two, great pickup day for him. Josh Stewart and Wyatt Hammond rounding up the top five. Yeah, Derek Brundle.
Amazing
Derek
Brundle.
Yeah, Derek Brundle's another amazing angler. For
Yeah, he's an amazing guy.
Yeah, amazing person too.
Every time I see Brundle, I always go up to him and try to talk to him, because that guy, he knows what he's doing out there. He's probably one of the most consistent anglers I've ever seen. He always catches them.
Now that you've won this, and I'm thinking what the rules are, and I'm pretty sure what the rules are, Bassmaster, you qualify for next year's championship. I have to stop the tendency of calling it the Classic, because I know it's not the Classic. Which is actually Fort Worth. So I'll hopefully get to meet you when you come out here next. Are you coming? Well, that's my question. Oh, are you coming next year?
I have to come. I have to come. I mean, it's always been my dream to go to the Bassmaster Classic. So to actually qualify for the kayak side is just, that's surreal. That's almost as amazing as winning the tournament.
Yeah. Do you plan on doing any other Bassmaster Kayak Series trails now? Does that get you greedy thinking maybe you can pull an AOY?
I don't want to think that far ahead, but I already planned on, even if I got $0 from this tournament, I was already going to do Gunnersville and Susquehanna.
Nice.
So I'm going to stick with my original plan and still do Gunnersville and the Susquehanna.
Have you fished either one of those lakes before?
Yeah, I've fished both. I fished Gunnersville briefly last year. I only fished 2 days and I did pretty bad, but the Susquehanna is only about 2.5 hours from me, and I've spent a lot of time out there. I love that place.
Yeah, no, Susquehanna is definitely a legendary. Of all the three that you're doing, which one did you expect to do the best. And there's a chance you can do this in do even better in Susquehanna or even Guntersville. But which one that you felt like, if there's one that you're going to win, which one you think it was going to be? Do you thought it was going to be Lake Murray?
I mean, I felt really confident coming into this tournament just because I had been there the last 3 years and it was like essentially the same exact weekend. So I had a pretty good idea of what was going to go down for this one. And Guntersville, I don't have much expectation for, but I really want to get some revenge after going down there and not doing very well last year. And the Susky, I mean, that might, the outside of Champlain, that's probably my favorite place on earth. So I'll always be confident going there.
Yeah, and that's another one that I expect maybe like 250 anglers. Who knows?
It should be.
Yeah,
it should be.
Before I let you go, I wanted to give you a chance to shout out anybody you want to shout out, sponsorships or people that help you. I know you mentioned your friend already. You're free to mention him again, of course. But go ahead and take this as long as you want.
Oh, of course. Yeah, obviously, shout out to John Comida. I know you're watching over me up there. I know that this would have never happened if you weren't right there with me by my side somehow. And shout out to my buddy Andrew. He's right here. I'm shooting this here, and this is in his studio. I shot a podcast in my room last night, and it didn't, like, I don't feel like the camera angle was very well, so I tried to come here today and get a better camera angle. Shout out to my buddy Sean Place for always talking to me every day. He's one of my best friends. Yeah, I don't have any sponsors really to shout out.
I think that's going to change pretty soon.
I hope so.
Next time we get you on, I'm sure there's going to be more. Jake, it's been an honor to have you on the podcast. I look forward to seeing you in Fort Worth. Hopefully you will come for the Classic.
I think,
you know, sharing your story and your connection, your deep connection with your friends and your support group and how that shaped your tournament, I think is the highlight, more than actually winning the tournament. And I love listening to you talk about that and the stories, because more than anything, like the name of my podcast, the channel is Bass Kayak and Beers, but really the segment is called The Real Life, and that's what it's all about. You know, we want to hear how you caught it and how you won, but we also love the life stories that come with it, you know, and this is second to none as far as that. Big congratulations on what you did, man, and I'm sure you're going to continue to do other things that, you know, people in the Northeast already know how great of an angler you are. Nationally, people are going to notice, and hopefully we'll see you on the podcast with some other trophies and bigger and more sponsorship this time around.
Oh, I hope so. And, oh, yeah, my social media is JC underscore fishing and then world, like Juice World, WRLD. That's my Instagram and my YouTube. I'm almost done editing the YouTube video. It's hard. I've had so many phone calls and messages to go through, but I'm almost done. I just need to put the finishing touches on. I have all the clips put together. I just want to make sure that this video is perfect, because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of people that watch it.
Oh, yeah. If for anything, for any tournament, the funny thing about it is every time there's a tournament in Lake Murray, even boaters are going to search YouTube, they're going to find your videos. And it's funny because you're going to notice every time there's a tournament coming up in Lake Murray, you'll see the view spike even like 2, 3, 5 years from now. I know I've done it. Not as far as creating content, but as doing the same thing, researching videos. YouTube is great for that, in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. And I have some older videos from Lake Murray from the KBF trails on there. So you can see how much better I've gotten over the past couple of years and how much I've grown as an angler over the past couple of years.
Tell us a little bit about your channel. Like, I recently started following. I thought it was really interesting. I've seen some of your videos and your clips. What is your YouTube channel? What is it? Obviously, it's about fishing, but, you know, what type of fishing? I know guys not just do kayak fishing. They also do striper fishing. They do, you know, small creek fishing and all that. What is, in the essence, what is your channel about?
Most of my videos on YouTube are going to be tournament fishing, because those are the only ones I usually go through the process to actually upload. A lot of times I'll go fishing and catch a couple, and I might have clips, but I'll just be like, whatever, and just delete them. But on my Instagram, I have some fluke fishing videos. I did a lot of striper and saltwater fishing this year. I don't have as much videos of it, but this year, going forward, I'm going to try and start videoing a lot more of that because saltwater fishing's fun every now and then. It's a break because it's not as stressful as tournament fishing.
Yeah. It's fun to just go out there and have fun and not worry about where you place on it. Just beat your buddies in it.
Yeah, exactly. Just go out there and catch a couple. You don't have to worry about money on the line or anything.
Definitely. Jake, thank you so much for taking the time, man. Again, we enjoyed having you on the podcast. Hopefully, we'll get you on. And if not for anything else, sometimes we have the Advanced Kayak Angler, which breaks down baits, techniques. By the way, for those that are watching or listening, the next episode of the Advanced Kayak Angler is going to talk about water temperatures, how that affects fishing. So it's going to be great insight. Look for that next week. That should be coming out March. Let me look at my calendar real quick. So March 6th, look forward for that episode. Talk about water temperatures. So again, Jake, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
I know it's kind of late over there in the Northeast, so I don't want to drag this along. Great success moving forward, man, and thank you again.
Thank you, man. Hopefully I'll be on here with another blue trophy sometime soon.
Hey, if not even blue trophy, maybe a Hobie BOS or KBF. They're all welcome.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, shout out to KBF too.
Definitely. For those out there listening, remember you can follow us on social media, Bass Kayak and Beers, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you listen to our podcast, remember you can enter the giveaway for this quarter at the end of March. Just leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you sign with your name on your review so we'll know who you are. We'll announce it at the last episode of the Advanced Kayak Angler at the end of March. And again, if you're going to be on the water, as always, wear your PFDs, people. Have a great night, everyone. Peace out.